Are you also tired of one-size-fits-all weight loss plans? Meet Noom, the personalized solution that meets you where you are. Noom is able to understand your unique needs, from dietary restrictions to medical concerns. Unlike restrictive programs, Noom embraces your lifestyle and choices. Discover a sustainable approach to weight loss, tailored just for you. Honestly, Noom felt like it was made for me. It's not just about what I eat. It's about understanding why. With Noom, I've learned so much about myself and built healthier habits that stick. It's all about progress, not perfection. Say goodbye to restrictive diets and experience the Noom app for yourself with personalized lessons and expert coaching. Noom's psychology and biology-based approach has helped over 5.2 million people achieve their goals. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hello, everybody!
What up, what up, what up?
My name is Tim Daniel. His name is Ben Brown. His name is Ben.
All right. Hey, man, if you... Yeah.
And welcome to this week's edition of Late Night Reds, brought to you by the Riverfront, or as Cindy puts it, the best pod in the biz. And I agree.
I agree, too. 1,000%.
So, before we get into the fantastic week of Nick Martini, we're going to first make sure we let you guys know, as always, that this episode of The Riverfront is brought to you by our good friends at SeatGeek. Use the code Riverfront for $20 off your first SeatGeek order. And if you haven't used it and you're like, man, I need tickets to go hang out with the guys on September 9th at the Stretch and then go to the show afterwards, say at 4 p.m., that's the perfect opportunity. Ben, that's what we call capitalism.
Hey, at its finest.
At its finest.
Yes, it is.
If you're not already, come hang out with us and join the Patreon, patreon.com/riverfrontcincy, where we got lots of new channels going, including some video game chats now, some wrestling. Today was a big wrestling day, obviously. We talk a lot of movies, the Bengals, the Reds, of course, and a whole lot more. So, Benny.
Yes, sir.
Big win for your boys this weekend there at the Cooper High School. Big win for my Notre Dame Fighting Irish this weekend.
Man, Notre Dame looked good. And now, granted, like I said, you know, Navy is Navy. But, man, Notre Dame has struggled against Navy before. There was no struggle.
Yes, they have.
There was no struggle this Saturday. Like they looked good. They looked really good.
They did. I notice every time Chad and I talk, Chad's a Virginia alum. He never brings up the Will Fuller touchdown, the walk-off touchdown against Virginia.
Yeah.
I don't know if he holds it against me.
Touchy subject, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they freaking beat Notre Dame in basketball every year, so we'll just roll with it. So
yeah.
Let's go ahead and before we get into a little bit of the conversation, I do want to talk about the Diamondback series, obviously, and we will. I had to ask you, what is – oh, thanks, Sydney. Sydney giving love to my lookouts hat. This is actually from my cousin and his wife live in Chattanooga. And he's like, hey, I got you a lookouts hat finally. And I was like, oh, that was super nice of you. And it was on my doorstep within a couple days. So shout out That's the family. Great. Cousin Ryan, thank you. You're the man.
Cousin Ryan with the hookup.
Yeah, he'll never listen to this, but –
maybe send him a link, see if it'll pop on, you know.
Yeah, maybe. I was just gonna go ahead and say Joey Gaditza comes in and say hey before he goes off the jam. Shout out north of the border, Joey Gaditza.
What up?
So what was your favorite Ellie De La Cruz moment this week? Was it the laser today to get Corbin Carroll at the home on the relay, or was it poking Shohei Ohtani to make sure he was real?
Both were dope. Both were dope, but dude, that throw.
Oh my god.
That throw was unreal. I mean, he uncorked that thing and I was like, I'm looking at it, I'm like, oh, it's gonna tail. I mean, it went right in Stevenson's glove. I mean, goodness. And it was a bullet. It was an absolute seed he threw. I mean, and that's, I don't know how many people have actually played the game of baseball, but to understand how that works, like as a second baseman, like you watch a guy go out to center field and you're drifting out to play and you're really trying to play how far you're going to be on the cutoff. So when he drifts, you're like, oh man, like there's no way he's going to get there to be able to, cause you know, Friedel misplayed the ball off the wall. So I'm like, man, I was like, there's no way he's going to be able to read that. I mean, he went out there and caught that. I mean, he turned. And actually, if you watch him, like, he kind of sets himself. Like, it wasn't a blind throw. Like, he kind of sets himself and was like, yeah, I'm about to uncork this thing. And, I mean, he put an absolute laser on Stevenson. I want to know what Stevenson was thinking, because when you're watching that ball come in, you're like, ooh, that's – you're like, ooh. You're like, ooh, that's going to be close. You're like, ooh, that guy didn't have a shot at scoring. Like that was a laser. But yeah, like that throw was unreal.
Not to mention, so the beginning of that relay, like you said, Friedel misreads the ball, but the way he recovers and gets the ball in, awesome. Awesome. Yes, absolutely awesome. Like, Tom Emanski would be so proud. and then Stevenson, Stevenson having the wherewithal to catch and make the tag is also crazy. But you know, that was just like unbelievable, man. And then also it's Corbin Carroll, who, you know, most likely National League Rookie of the Year, not exactly slow by any stretch of the matter. So that is like,
can definitely fly.
Right. You got to have that shot. Like, that was awesome. And then Noelvi Marte makes that play at third base today to turn that double play.
Yeah.
I'm becoming a big fan of his more and more by the day as well.
Yeah. He's It's so weird to watch, because it's like you're watching like just this. I mean, it's this group of infielders is going to be so special.
Yeah.
I mean, I mean, everybody I know, McClain made an error last night. I get that. Like, and listen, those things are going to happen. If you've ever, you know, if you know the game of baseball, nobody's perfect, whatever. But to watch this group, I mean, to see what they're doing as guys all caught up this year and to see that picture kind of being painted, and to see what they're doing, it's cool to watch him make plays, Ellie make plays, McClain make plays. Like, you know, if you play your cards right, like next 10 years, like you're going to have one of the best defensive infields in baseball.
So I want to read these two tweets from Sarah Langs. You can follow Slangs on Slangs on Sports. She's incredible. One of the best followers in the world. So she had these two StatCast numbers today. I don't know if you've seen these. So I hope you haven't, for the sake of so I can see your reaction, honestly.
I have not.
Okay. So first one is most 95-plus miles per hour assists as an infielder single season under StatCast 2015. 2020, 2021, Fernando Tatis Jr., two each season.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
2022, O'Neill Cruz of my least favorite team, the Pittsburgh Pirates, last year had three.
Mm.
2023, Ellie De La Cruz, eight.
Hold on. I would say over 90 miles an hour?
95.
95?
Eight.
Are you kidding?
Yeah.
That's insane.
Oh,
that's insane.
It gets better. It gets better. Here's the next tweet. Fastest tracked assist by infielders under StatCast, which started in 2015. July 20th, Ellie De La Cruz, 99.8. Today, Ellie De La Cruz, 99.7. July 16th, Ellie De La Cruz, 97.9. July 14th, 2022, O'Neal Cruz, 97.8. August 15th, 2023, Ellie De La Cruz, 97.5. And then September 20th, 2020, Fernando Tatis, 97.3. So, one, two, three, four, five. Of the six fastest of all time, Ellie has four of them.
That's insane, dude. That's insane. Wow.
Oh, wow, by the way, they lost today, but...
Yeah. That's neither here nor there. That's incredible.
Yeah.
That is incredible.
Yeah, Sydney hit it right on the dock. She said 99.8. So, that was awesome. And then,
holy cow.
Yeah, so I feel like every week we should just have a segment of, like, Ellie does amazing things, and every week mm-hmm. it's just, like, we just, like, start the show with that before we get into the recap of the weekend series.
Yeah.
So I think that's going to be a new thing. Man. But let's talk about the series, because obviously it sucked. Mm-hmm. So let's start Thursday. Man, Brandon Williamson again, man. Mm-hmm. Again. Has another awesome outing. Six innings, no runs. Alex Young comes in, gives it the go-ahead home run to Corbin Carroll, who we just, the aforementioned Corbin Carroll, who is really good. Started as a National League All-Star as a rookie. Let's just go ahead and put that out there. Friday, Hunter Green struggles. We'll get into that here in a little bit, but team fights back. Willie Beeman hits a ninth inning grand slam to cut it within two. I know you were coaching a football game that night, so you didn't get to catch it live, but that's okay. Saturday, you know, they have the huge comeback win. They're down 4-0. They fight all the way back. They end up taking a 7-4 lead in the top of the 10th. Arizona battles back, and then they win it on a balk-off.
Well, it wasn't a balk.
Yeah, it wasn't a balk-off because they were the top of the inning, but you catch what I mean. So TJ Hopkins gets the RBI and strikeout in the same at bat. Which is just such a silly baseball thing. Also a silly baseball thing. Alexis Diaz gave up three runs and got the win in that game.
Yeah. Goofy.
Hey man, you blew the save by giving up three runs, but here's a W. You can take arbitration. Win. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Stupidest stat of all time. Mm-hmm. And then today, Graham Ashcraft is awesome again. I mean, tremendous again. Seven really good innings. The Reds have a 2-1 lead at one point. Gurriel takes him deep. Well, 6 2/3, but you know what I mean. And then Ian Jabot was Ian Jabut today. Walked everybody. Lucas Sims comes in and does no favors as well. They end up losing 5-2. But, you know, we did mention, obviously, the really good defensive play. So, you know, we're going to break this down a little here in a bit. We'll talk about, you know, everyone there. We're going to get into everyone that's within the postseason race that the Reds are competing against, who all they're playing. The Cubs have 15 straight games coming up against teams that got 500. But, you know, the division's looking less and less likely. Milwaukee is just on a tear. I'm also with the viewer mail that was asked Thursday during the Riverfront pod of why are the Brewers good? Can't figure it out. They pitch really well. They have no bats.
Yeah. I mean,
Christian Yelich is good, but like,
and even he's not, I mean, he's not Christian, he's not MVP Christian Yelich, though. Like, I mean, even he's kind of all right.
July, he was great, but it's like, right.
So, I don't know.
Yeah. I would not think that Jesse Winker was going to be like the fifth outfielder on that team when they traded for him. But this series sucks because this is a team you're within wild card competition for. Especially the new wild card rules, you obviously don't get a home game. It's a best of three somewhere. So that makes it a little harder because if you do sneak in, you're looking more and more likely like you're playing like the Dodgers. Yeah. And this is no slight to the Diamondbacks. They're a very good team, obviously. I know they were struggling coming into July when they played the Reds, but this is one of those which I know we've talked about. We talked about a little bit before we started recording. It's one of those series where it's like, yes, they have outperformed expectations, but this was a weekend that they had some opportunities to really pick up some games.
Yeah. I think that's where that's the gift and the curse of this team, right? Like I think that we're so excited about the young talent. We're so excited about what they can do and their potential. Yeah. We really thought that they would perform knowing what was at stake. And, you know, it that's the sucky part about it is that, you know, you go into this series having a chance to stay close in the Central, knowing that the Cubs are playing well, knowing that the Brewers are playing well, knowing that you're fighting with the Diamondbacks for a wild card and you lose 3 or 4. So it's like, you know, although I'm pleased with the way this season's gone, mm-hmm. it's a little bit disappointing because it's like, man, like you just want more. You just want more. You want their success.
Yeah.
It's almost like the Bengals. Like, you know, you could see the writing on the wall when you got Chase and Burrow and, you know, they struggle coming out of the gate early, but you knew it was coming. And I guess I'm waiting on, okay, when do we turn that corner with this young group? And it may not be this year. It may be next year, but it's like, gosh, like, I guess it's wishful thinking, I guess. Like, man, we really needed to take 3 or 4 this year, or at least split the series, take 3 or 4, and going into this next series. But, I guess it's kind of the both. It's kind of the good and the bad. Like you said, like, we are definitely leaps and bounds ahead of where we thought we were going to be. But it's like, man, like, now that we got here, now we want it all. You know what I mean? Like, we really want it all. So,
yeah, but, I mean – even like we're talking about this like series right now, right? Where we're like, man, they lost 3 or 4. Right now, they have a winning West Coast road trip. Like, how many years do we like remember the Reds going on those West Coast road trips where it's like it broke the back of the season? And like right now, they're 4-3 on this trip going to San Francisco. And like, that's great. It sucks Ohtani had to get hurt in one of those games for you to get to that point. But, you know, you still right now are 4-3 going into San Francisco in this road trip. But yeah, it's absolutely right. And you know, San Francisco is another team. And tomorrow you have a guy making his second big league start and you have Andrew Abbott on the mound. The Giants are the third worst team OPS wise against left-handed pitching this year. So you have to take advantage of that. Mm-hmm. You have to come out there and get two of these three at least. A sweep's ideal. 2 of 3 is great. 1 of 3 is very disappointing. But yeah, man. And like to kind of piggyback off what you were saying, it's really, really this dynamic where I'm guilty of it, you know, right? Like I was higher on this team than most. I didn't think they'd be super. I didn't think they'd be for a wild card spot in August. But right. I was like, this young talent, we're going to start to see it come together. And I think what really frustrated me about this weekend wasn't necessarily that they lost, like, shit, you know. Right. Diamondbacks are fighting for the same exact thing. Yep. It's that they had opportunities to win.
Yes. Yeah.
And
yeah.
Look, one of those games, Ellie De La Cruz gets rung up on one of the worst strike threes in a game I've seen ever.
Yeah.
And his strike zone sometimes is so irritating. Like, it just drives me crazy. Mm-hmm. And so that kind of makes it interesting. Nick Senzel got called up and hit a home run the other night.
Yep.
Yeah. He's had 3 at bats since he got called up.
Yeah.
3.
Yep. And we to piggyback on what you're saying, like, and we've talked about this, like, and I know this will be something that we discussed because this guy got an extension, but some of the things that David Bell does is really frustrating. Like we were watching that game, the one that they came back and won in the 11th. Like, we got no outs with Luke Maley up, who swings the bat particularly well, and we had just gotten
– lately, yeah.
Yeah, and we had just gotten 4 hits in a row, and he sends him up there to squeeze bunt. Like,
I think Maley may have done that by himself, but still, I'm with you.
Yeah. But like, it's just stuff like that, man. Like, that's a little bit of the frustration too. Like, I don't know. It's just weird. Just weird.
Well. It's not even, you know, like, it's also the fact that Stevenson was raking in that game. It's like, why is he not still in the game at this point? Kirk Casale's back on the big league roster.
Mm-hmm.
But what, you know, why? This is not an anti-Kirk Casale thing by any stretch of the matter.
No, not at all.
It's just the whole, you know, like, and the Guardians did the same thing. We talked about that with Quincy a couple weeks ago, where it's like, why are these teams, you know, whatever. We're not going to, it's August. We're still bitching.
It's
about
all
this.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Sydney asks, who do you think gets called up when the roster's expanded? So Carrick brings up Freely or Indy if they're healthy. I agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
If they're not healthy, you know who I think gets called up, Ben?
Who's that? I was gonna say, just let it shine through. Just let
yourself. We're gonna let it play. I mean, we're not gonna turn it off. Until we get to 1,000 subscribers, we're going to enjoy that. But,
yes,
dude, have you looked at his AAA numbers lately?
I have not.
Raking!
But I was going to say, I've heard he's hitting the ball well.
Yeah. Like Carrick says, he should have been up already. I agree.
Yeah.
He can play center field. He's shown that it's like, I mean, he doesn't have, you know, whatever. He has the ability to be in center field.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can put his body out there. But the way he's hitting, I think he makes a ton of sense right now. Like, I'm going to say it. I know there's some people out there who are very big for this guy. I don't understand it. But, like, when Kevin Newman's back, I want Barrero over him. And yeah. I know that Barrero has shown this weird 4A, like, I can hit in AAA, and I struggle to hit in the majors. Mm-hmm. But he's made some really good adjustments. If you watch the at-bats are much better. I want Barrero on the big league roster again. I want to know... Yeah. In a playoff run, what is he made of?
Yeah. No, I think that that's fair. It kind of goes with the theme of the season, right? Like, let's see what the kids can do, right? Like, let's give this guy a chance. Let's play him in center field or wherever you want to play him, and let's run with it. We've seen what Newman's done. Like, all right, we know what Newman can do.
Yeah.
All right, let's get Barrera up here and let's see. Let's get him some at bats and see what he can do if he can help this team make a charge towards playoffs.
Yeah, I'm with you, dude. I'm with you. And then I agree with Carrick. I think it's going to be a reliever coming up as well. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. Connor Phillips has struggled in Louisville. I'm not worried about him by any stretch of the matter. So I think when I think another spring training for him, he's going to be a big league camp for a little bit next year. I have full faith. That Connor Phillips is going to get it back going. So Sydney brings up, this is Burrow's stat line right now. 277, 336, 573 with 13 bombs in Louisville. That looks pretty good. And that's kind of a weird ballpark. Like, it's definitely like a hitter-friendly ballpark, but it's one of those things where, like, when the wind's there, the ball doesn't travel.
Yeah.
So, got to give him kudos for that because, like, you know, I know Ellie was hitting like 950-foot bombs there over scoreboards. But yeah, I need to get down there for a game again, man. I love it down there.
Yeah.
I think my guy Jake Hurtubise is back with Louisville.
Okay.
Former U.S. Army Jacob Hurtubise would be awesome. Yeah. So, Ben Lively yesterday, by the way, we didn't mention this.
Yeah.
Really nice. Really nice. Yeah.
Yeah, he did an excellent job, man. I mean, to come straight off of the IL to come in and have to play that long relief game, like that was very encouraging to see. I mean, that was very encouraging.
Yeah. Sydney and Carrick did confirm my guy, Jacob Hurtubise. I was at his AAA debut. Like, that was the first game I worked. So I liked it. Yeah, but yeah, Lively was awesome, man. I mean, they don't win that game if he doesn't go out there and kind of hold the fort down. So,
not at all.
Yeah, I really, really like it. I love Ben Lively, man. His story's cool. You know, I think minus that Cubs game when he gave up like 13 runs.
Yeah.
I think he's been pretty damn good for who he is.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, we talk all the time about like, well, if all these starters end up being who they are, who's the long relief guy? I don't think that's a bad route for Ben Lively.
No, not at all. Not at all. He's got starter potential. That's what you want, a long reliever. Like, he's got starter potential and he can give you 3 really good innings. because yeah. he can give you that. So I think he's one of those guys that you could look at being a long reliever.
Yeah, I agree. All right, let's go ahead and move on to Blake Dunn. Got a little 2050, got a little Julio Rodriguez going on right now.
Ooh.
Have you seen this Julio Rodriguez tear?
Yes, dude.
Oh my God.
Dude, he's incredible.
He'll be in town Labor Day weekend. Yeah. Labor Day week. I'll be at the week of the live game. I'm going to the Monday game.
Okay.
Yeah. Julio's probably my favorite non-red right now besides Ronald Acuna.
Yeah.
He's like my American League dude. I'm very, very excited to have them go down. They're in first place, by the way.
Yeah, I saw that.
Can you believe that?
No, that's insane. That's insane. Yeah.
Sydney says, Justin Dunn for Julio Rodriguez, please. I agree.
Let's make that happen.
Yeah. Ben and I actually do have a friend that works for the Mariners. So we might be able to just be like, hey, can you guys just leave Julio in Cincinnati? We'll do one of those September trade things that are kind of weird that don't make any sense.
Let's do that.
Remember when the Reds traded Chris Dickerson for Jim Edmonds? Yes. We were like, we went to that game. You and I went to that game.
Yes,
together.
We did.
And we're like, I was like, did you see they got Jim Edmonds? And you're like, yeah. And I was like,
yeah.
And it was awful.
Funky.
Yeah.
Super funky.
I need to look to see if Luis Castillo is going to be pitching those games. I need to see if he's on the rotation. I guess we'll know that probably later this week.
Yeah, it'll come out.
Bro, I might cry seeing Luis Castillo walk on a GABP mound again.
I'll say this. He's of recent year, man. He's one of those dudes where I enjoyed his stint. I wish he'd come back. Like he's just one of those dudes. Like he's just legit. He kind of holds like Johnny Cueto vibes to me. Like I wouldn't want Cueto now because of course he's well beyond his prime, but. But like when Johnny Cueto left, like that hurt me because I thought he was so good and so solid for so long. And I get Luis Castillo is the same way with me. Like I just think that he's just a solid pitcher, solid starter, gave the Reds everything he could. And he's always going to hold a special spot for me.
He was the one guy in all the trades last year I was actually bummed about. Like I didn't care they traded Gino and Winker. I didn't care they traded Sonny Gray. Yeah. No, I would absolutely love our Sonny Gray reunion this offseason, if it's in the cards. I don't know. But Luis Castillo was the one I was like, damn.
Yeah.
That one hurt.
I hated losing him.
Yeah. I got it. I mean, obviously, Nolan Marte is pretty damn good, as we talked about earlier. So, you take it with what it is. But, I would love to have him. But let's talk about the newest revelation in the Cincinnati Reds offense. Nick Martini.
Shake it, not stirred.
I saw Joe Farfsing from the Riverfront Bengal show made that joke on Twitter, and Sydney gave him the boo. Sydney's in chat, so I had to make
hold
sure.
Hold on. What do you say in the text? You're like, he's probably heard that joke 10,000 times.
Yeah. All right. I like to put these numbers up because they're hilarious to me because they are such a small sample size. But Nick Martini, 1244 OPS, two homers, six RBI. He's drawn three walks.
Yeah.
Bro, he wears 23. I mean,
Yeah.
So who do you think when we look at this 2023 Cincinnati Reds team in like 5 years that we'll remember more? Nick Martini or Jason Vossler?
Ooh. Well, it'll be Martini.
Because of the name.
Right, exactly. Just the name. Yeah. It'll be Martini.
Yeah, I mean, Carrick puts it here. He was really good for the bats this year. He was really, really good. But I thought he deserves a shot, obviously. And I thought, he's been a really nice pickup for the offense. Just kind of a left-handed batter. He's hit at least DH'd a couple of games now. This team has really missed that pop from left-handed bat with Fraley out. So, and now Votto's out.
And now Votto's out too, yeah.
So, that's, you know, he's been solid for them. I don't know if it'll keep up, but he did swing the bat really well. And so, yeah, I think Nick Martini, Jason Vossler, Matt Reynolds, kind of. What's that like, the office scene where Pam's like, corporate wants you to find the differences in this picture? I'm joking, because at one point Jason Vossler was leading the big league team in home runs when he got DFA'd. That was a weird time. Matt Reynolds actually was. Sydney brought up Matt Reynolds. He's actually been fairly decent in AAA Louisville this year as well. I need to look at their standings. I think they're in, I don't know if they're still in contention for the playoffs down there, but yeah. Henry Ramos got DFA'd. Because this kind of talks about like the Nixon Zell thing, right? So how you kind of know like it's over. And look, you know, again, he's only had 3 at bats, but he's looked good in those 3 at bats so far since he came up. Since he came back up. But Henry Ramos gets CFA'd. And they bring in TJ Hopkins, they bring up Nick Martini. They don't bring up Nick Senzel until Votto goes on the IL. And so, yeah, the breakup's coming. But also, I saw Bryce Spalding say this, and I completely agree. Like, love him or hate him, the Reds need him to play really well down the stretch.
Yeah. I think that's where they're at. Like, the you know, we've all talked about this. This is going to be probably his last year in a Reds uniform. But in turn, too, I think they need that pop in the lineup, I mean, with what he can do. So,
yeah,
you know, the breakup's coming. But I also think he should have more than 3 at-bats in a weekend. I mean, he's a little bit better baseball player than that. So.
Yeah, I mean, today he kind of, I know he pops out, but he sparks the rally today to kind of get those 2 runs where he hits the ball deep in the outfield and Steer advances to second base on a pop fly. That's really huge. So that was big. Pat Magooch says, the breakup is coming, but at least they're both getting some action.
Correct.
I really like that. That's really funny. That's like, what was that tweet going around earlier this year? That was like a clip of a Blue Jays game where the commentator like said the words too fast, like about Kayvon Biggio. He was trying to say he was having some success, but he goes, but he's been having some sex.
Yeah. Like,
way to go, Kayvon.
Hey, good job, Kayvon.
Your dad would be proud. Your dad would be proud. We mentioned it for a second there, you know, Joey Votto goes back to the IL this week. I know that was the controversial button last week in our conversation. Probably does not help our point of why he should stay with the big league roster, but neither here nor there. Obviously this sucks, right? You know, because he was above average. He's a slightly above average hitter at this point in his career, which by the way, at 39, your 17th year, not terrible.
No,
I mean, we'll live with it. No, you look at what Detroit's going through with Miggy right now and with the Reds got with Votto. They're gonna take that every day of the week. You know, Nate said this week he's better than where Pujols was last year, obviously. And I'm not here to have the swan song conversation, just more or less because I'm not ready for it.
Yeah,
if it happens in December, then like we'll do a whole like tribute show and like play like sad music and cry a little, but you know, the end's coming and we know the end's coming. And we talked about this last week. Like I said, like, you know, if he can play, I'd love to have him for the sake of the veteran leadership and the fact he does have some pop, but you know, he's going to be 40 next weekend, not the weekend coming up, the weekend after. So it's
Man. I mean, is it, here's my question to you, Tim. And I, like I said, I want to see him back next year. I really do.
I do too.
But is it to a point now where you look at, with 30 games left, like you just look at possibly shutting him down?
If they weren't in contention, I would say no, I would say yes. Okay. But if there's something like, because you know, Nick Cross comments were hopefully it's just a 10-day thing. He just like has some soreness. Because you know, it was during the Anaheim game, they pull him and TJ Hopkins pinches for him. And I'm like, what the hell? Right. And it turns out it was more than just a strategy plan. So it's like, okay, I get it now. You know, I do think this team's going to need someone to kind of be like, and there's guys next year. You know, I don't want to have the conversation yet about potential veterans they can bring in. I want to save that for the off season because I have been doing my research for like, what are we going to talk about for 6 months? always be prepared, folks. Yeah. Always be prepared. That's rule number one in podcasting.
Do your homework. You know
yeah. I will say a sneak peek. I really like the idea of Randall Grichuk playing for the Reds next year if he doesn't sign back with the Angels, but we'll save that for the rest of this offseason. But yeah, I think that, you know, the fact they're in the hunt, and there's obviously fantasizing about like Joey Votto coming up in the seventh inning and it's a 2-2 game. There's a runners on second and third. And he has some big hit. Of course, like I want that for him because he deserves it. But yeah, I mean, it sucks. And I do think Strand's a better defensive first baseman at this point, obviously. But yeah, I just want to see, like, you know, and the good thing about this team, though, Ben, and I think is kind of, we talked about, like, well, they need someone they can go to, the veteran guy, like, and I know that he's not Joey Votto as far as at the plate, but Luke Maley's been in playoff series. I mean, he went to the playoffs last year with the Guardians.
Yeah.
He's a guy who's been around. He's played for a lot of competitive teams. He had good teams in Tampa. So, like, he knows, like, what it's like here. But, like, you know, he doesn't bring the same thing that a healthy Joey Votto does. And that's the conversation. So, you know, we'll see how this plays out. Like I said, hopefully come next week when we're live at the stretch, we're having a couple beers, getting ready to go watch Joey Votto play.
Yep.
I got like so many tickets for games down the stretch just in case it is his last month.
I bet you do. I was going to say, I will have to get on SeatGeek. If we figure this out, like if we get a feeling that maybe this might be it, I will definitely be using our code $20 off getting some tickets because I will definitely want to see some of these last home games if it is the swan song of Joseph Daniel Votto.
Yeah, absolutely. Kind of keep the bummer stuff going, and then we'll get to some fun stuff. Hunter Green. This game was weird. Again, so I know I'm kind of telling you how it went because you were. By the way, when I say Ben was coaching a football game, his team won 42-2. So I think you probably could take the headset off by the second quarter and just kind of
play out. We shut it down after halftime. So yeah, we were. I was getting some updates.
Looked really, really good first three innings. Like, really, really good. And then just kind of fell apart from there. I know it's really hard to say I'm encouraged by a 3 2/3 outing. But I was pretty encouraged by a 3 2/3 outing by the fact that, it unraveled quick. But he looked like old Hunter Green for a little bit. And I believe that's coming. I believe we're going to see that by the end of the season. You know, he's got another chance Wednesday against San Francisco at a big ballpark. So the homer won't be as likely, still possible, not as likely, obviously in that stadium. But you know, the strikeouts are up again. We got to figure out the walks part. I'm not discouraged. I just, you know, the ERA doesn't look ideal, but also he's got like what 13 starts this year because of how long he was out.
I think he's going to be fine. I went back and watched a few of those innings that he pitched, and he did. He looked really good. He was locating his fastball. You know, he had his you know, his other his cutter working. Like he looked good this first like 2 2/3 inning. He looked really good. To me, he looks like he is pitching to figure things out. If that makes sense. You know, it's hard when you only have 13 starts. You're out for so long. You know, I know we brought him back This is his second start back. You know, I think he's trying to figure things out on the fly, and not having the opportunity to do it on a triple A level, just because of the mere fact that we just needed a starting pitching. We didn't have any more time that we could say, okay, well, we got to fill the gap. Once he's ready, he's got to go. So, you know, for him, unfortunately, like, he hasn't had the opportunity to try to figure those things out, like, in triple A. So now he's trying to figure them out on the major league level, and major league hitters are getting to him faster at a faster rate while he's trying to figure things out. It'll get better. Like, yeah. Hunter Green is too talented. He's too talented of a pitcher for them to stay this way for this long. So he'll be fine. I'm not worried about Hunter Green in the slightest. You know, I think he's using these games to get himself back to where he needs to be. He's figuring it out. And once he figures it out, he'll be okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I think a lot of people are – look, I'm someone who thought they should have got a starter. We talked about this. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to fight this again. Okay. I want to move on from that conversation.
Water on the bridge.
It was because of this situation where I was like, maybe they need someone in case he's not back to form mm-hmm. immediately. And at that time, we thought Nick Lodolo was going to be back. If I had to guess, I don't think Nick Lodolo starts a game this year.
No, he's done.
Yeah, I hate to say that.
It's September. He's done. You know yeah. what I mean? Like, he's, yeah.
I absolutely hate to say that. But also, as far as, like, that lefty, they've had two who have been tremendous.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, maybe you don't have to rush him.
Right.
And then, you know, Vladimir Gutierrez, I guess, got returned on a rehab assignment, so that's never a good sign.
No, yeah, I was going to say, no, it's not good.
Dude, is TJ Anto never going to pitch for the Reds again?
I don't know. Who knows?
Man, it's...
Yeah. All that stuff is kind of weird. I'm not understanding the philosophy of some of the things that they're trying to do. Like, you know, I don't know. It's just weird. Like you said, it's weird. It's clunky. I don't know. Just not weird. No.
So Pat says, Nick Lodolo, a top 10 prospect for Dylan Cease. I don't love the idea of trading Nick Lodolo, but I can be talked into it. I wouldn't say yes, but I will listen.
You'd have to convince me.
Yeah. So Sydney says Antone's got 7 more days on his rehab assignment. So I don't know. I hope he pitches again, especially now that he has his cornrows going. You know, now he's Allen mm-hmm. Iverson. I like
it. Right.
So. Yeah. I didn't put this in the slide, but I was gonna have a conversation with this, and if anyone in our live chat wants to join in.
Mm-hmm.
So did you catch Riverfront on Friday this week? Which you had
missed? I did not. No.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So they got this conversation. First off, this question from someone by the name of White Walls, which, how dare you, Mr. or Miss, I'll be fair, White Walls, that you did not save this question for Late Night Reds, said that they went and saw Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutant Mayhem with their family. And they asked, if you could take 4 all-time Reds in the war with you, who would you take? And I was like, I like that question, but you should have left it for me.
Yeah.
We're going to twist it a little differently here for the White Walls. You know, the idea of the Ninja Turtles is they're 4 young dudes figuring out life, right?
Right.
Sounds a lot like these young rookie Reds.
Absolutely.
We're going to match the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle to their Reds counterpart.
Ooh.
You down?
I'm down. Let's do it. Let's do it.
Master Splinter, Joey Votto, settled. All right, cool.
Oh, yeah, that's easy. Yeah, that's easy.
Leonardo, leader. I'm going Matt McClain. I feel like... I feel like he's been the best of the group. Throughout, mm-hmm. you know, he's been the most consistent. He's finally, like, struggled for the first time these last 2 days. And I'm like, what is this? I don't like it.
Yeah. No, I agree with that.
So Donatello is like the super smart guy that kind of like puts the plan together. He's the best with a stick. Spencer Steer. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm with it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Audience, any disagreements so far in our two? I mean, I guess it. Okay. We got two for twos. All right.
Okay. Okay.
So, Michelangelo, you know, he's the fun guy, right? He's the guy having
Ellie.
A great time. It's
gotta
Ellie.
Gotta be Ellie. Gotta be.
It's Ellie. Yes.
Gotta be.
Yes.
Gotta be.
I like it. I like it. Yeah, Ellie is definitely yeah. him. And that means Raphael.
Mm.
So, the thing is here, is there's so many guys who, like, Raphael is like, you're like, swings the ball, swings angrily, mm-hmm. got like, you know, I think I'm going Willie Beeman. I think I'm going Will Benson.
Okay. I like that.
Mainly
like
because
that.
The walk-off against the Dodgers, when he got so pumped,
yeah.
is like my still my favorite moment of the season.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's 4 for 4. That's a banger. I like that.
Yeah, I just don't.
I like that.
You know, there's not enough turtles to match to all the rookies because there's so many.
Yeah.
Like Noelvi Marte will definitely deserves to be in some sort of superhero conversation we'll have. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe we'll do the Justice League come Christmas time. We're trying to figure out.
We're trying to put a show together.
but I think that's a perfect 4 for 4.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
If I see like Ellie ever like run on the field wearing an orange bandana around his eyes, I'm going to be so pumped.
Hey, that's going to say that we need to start that right now. Go ahead and get that trending so that way he can get that.
Ellie Angelo.
Ellie Angelo.
I'll hit up Mike Perry, who made our Nick Kroll Thanos thing last week, and see if he can get us a Photoshop of those four as their Ninja Turtles.
Oh, that would be dope.
I'm going to start paying him for commissions. This reminded me of a really stupid story, but really funny. Okay, so July 2011, they had the first Sunday Night Baseball game.
Okay.
GABP. They're playing the Braves. It's actually if you go back and listen to when I had Drew Stubbs on, me and him talked about this particular game. It's the game he hits the walk-off.
Okay.
Sydney says this is a conversation to have with Sadak in the offseason. Yes. Absolutely. Yes. You have not had a conversation yet with John Sadak.
I've not.
He's my boy.
I'm down.
If he has free time for me, he normally does come hang out on the show.
Oh, that's dope.
So it's me, my dad, you know, a couple guys, mm-hmm. other guys mm-hmm. that you know, but like,
yeah.
you know. So we were like, we had season tickets, section 104, left field. And we would just kind of always like have like different themes because we were there, you know, 45 times a year. So the players got to know us. We were like Chris Heisey's dudes. Like we're at the 3-home run game against the Yankees. We'd be like, hey, Heisey. And he always like gave us the nod, you know, like we were like the bleacher creatures in Yankee Stadium, like doing the roll
oh,
call.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Yep.
So the Sunday Night Baseball game, we decide to wear the Ninja Turtle t-shirts, like the costume shirt, right? That has like the colors of like the thing. Chris Heisey like runs out there and we're like, hey, Heisey! He just looks at me, looks at us four in our stupid t-shirts and goes.
No love for the turtles?
I think he was just like, these guys are ridiculous. More than anything. But yeah. One of my all-time favorite games, too.
That's awesome.
At Great American. I tell a really cool story to Drew, if you go back and listen to that episode, about my dad called the walk-off.
Yeah.
And so it was a fun conversation to have with him about. But, hey, he might be coming back on soon. We're working details out.
That'd be awesome.
I'm going to go ahead and let this out of the bag now. So Drew kind of has expressed interest in kind of doing a Q&A with our listeners here at Late Night Reds. Like a live show Q&A where you guys in the chat ask him the questions and he answers them. So keep an eye out. We're working on a date to make that happen. But yeah, we're getting there. So
oh, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, he's been way too good to me. Way too good to me. So I definitely appreciate it.
Yeah.
So let's look ahead to the San Francisco Giants series. Don't leave your heart in San Francisco. And fun matchups here.
Yes, it is.
So Monday, you got Andrew Abbott against Kyle Harrison, who is a top 20 prospect in baseball, the Giants' number one prospect. Mm-hmm. Made his big league debut last week. Only threw about three innings, I believe. Didn't go too far. So, you know, I mentioned the Giants definitely had a game that they, you know, are not hit pretty well against left-handers, mm-hmm. like we mentioned. So this is a good – so for these two games for the Reds on Monday and Tuesday, when you've got Abbott and Williamson going back-to-back, really, really, really good chance that we can kind of hopefully take advantage here, especially because this is a team in the race as well. Alex Cobb, who, like, I don't know, Ben, has Alex Cobb pitched like since you were in high school? I feel is he the Kirk Cousins of baseball?
His rookie year was like 97. Like
he another funny story. I was at Jamie Moyer's last start. You know, talk about a guy who pitched for like a century. Yeah.
Yeah.
His first start is actually kind of memorable because do you remember it was when he was pitched for the Rockies? They came to Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. It was the game that Todd Frazier hit a home run and lost his bat, like in the swing. I was at that
game. Oh, yeah, yeah. I remember that.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. But yeah, Alex Cobb has, you know, pitched since I was born. I'm 34 now, so you know, he's baseball's Kirk Cousins. So
yes, he is.
He's going, and then Wednesday you've got two of the young guns, Hunter Green and Logan Webb. Nice chance for Hunter Green to bounce back. This is a good Giants team though. So would love to see him kind of get something going again here as well. Pat McGooch asked a really, really fun question. If Joey Votto was a Pokemon, which one would he be? I think Joey Votto's a Mewtwo kind of guy. I think he's like processes everything, super intelligent. You know, he's got like everything going on. He knows everyone's powers. So I think Joey Votto's a Mewtwo guy. I assume you don't know a whole lot about Pokemon because your kids are athletes and don't really get into it.
Yeah, I know Pikachu. That's
yeah. That's, yeah.
Yeah.
Makes sense. Sydney, we're going to make this happen. Don't worry. You're hanging out. You're coming on the pod.
Oh, yeah. That would be awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. And then I want to kind of start this up as we're kind of going down the last stretch of the regular season, kind of so you know who's doing what these weeks as far as the teams we're kind of competing against for playoff spots. So this is also kind of interesting because it's a lot of very similar teams playing each other. So the Cubs have three at Milwaukee. I mean, the Brewers have three at Chicago and come home for the Phillies for three. So those could be some big games. The Cubs have the Milwaukee, the aforementioned Milwaukee. They come here for four because I got that Friday doubleheader.
Mm-hmm.
The Phillies are, this goes into the wild card spot. The Phillies have Anaheim for three, then go to Milwaukee for three. Arizona has the Dodgers for three. So maybe this is a chance to pick up some of those left there.
That's a tough run for them. The Dodgers for three, Orioles for three. Those are two teams that are playing really well.
Yeah. Adley Rutschman rules. He's so good. The Giants obviously have the Reds coming to town for three and then go to San Diego. And the Marlins have their inter-Florida series where they play Tampa for two and then they go to Washington. So if you're the Reds and the Marlins, you probably feel pretty good about picking some games up this week.
Yeah, got to make a run. You got to make a run. Because of the schedules, they have the weakest schedules coming in these next weeks.
Yeah, I mean, so the Cubs, I do believe what we've seen is who they are. These last couple of weeks, I do think they're a good baseball team, but we're about to see how good they are because like I mentioned at the top of the show, their next 15 games are against teams above 500.
Yeah.
So, you know, you go, if you're the Cubs and you go out of there 8-7, you probably feel pretty good about yourself. But let me go ahead and I'll pull up. So this is the Cubs next 15. So the games we mentioned here, so Milwaukee and Cincinnati, then they go, they're home for San Francisco for three and Arizona for four. So this is a good time where they could, for them to make some grounds because then they got Colorado, Pittsburgh. Okay, this is bullshit. They have a stretch, Ben, in September, their last homestand of the season.
Yeah.
Three with the Pirates and three with the Rockies.
Oh.
Come on now.
Wow. Wow, schedule behind.
Their last two series on the road are the Braves and the Brewers.
Oh,
this is not an easy month for them.
No, it's not.
I mean,
it's
you got six Rockies games, but like other than that, yeah, Sydney, I agree. We need GABP to look less like Wrigley this weekend for sure. Mm-hmm. I wonder, do they wear the City Connect jerseys for both Friday games or just the nightcap? I assume just the nightcap, but
yeah,
that could be fun.
It'd be dope if they wore both.
Yeah, I'd like it. I'd be a fan. So I know Chad and Nate will have that on the Friday show, kind of getting you ready for the Cubs series. But I think we'll go ahead and wrap this one up. I thought the conversation was great this week. I thought,
oh yeah,
for, you know, it being a sucky weekend in Arizona, I thought the chat was great. We always appreciate you guys hanging out with us.
Yeah, we love you guys hanging out with us. Tell a buddy, bring a friend.
Yeah, exactly. Of course, I got to do the business stuff here. So if you're watching this on YouTube, whether you're watching the live episode or the rerun, just make sure you take a second to first off say thanks for hanging out. And also go ahead and hit that subscription button. Help us out here. Come hang out with us on the stretch in, 2 weeks.
Yeah, 2 weeks.
Yeah. Ben and I are going to be there. I don't know if you saw, but I volunteered. So whoever eats the most hot dogs has to buy you a beer. Not that you buy them a beer, but...
Oh. Okay. Yeah.
So it's not fair to the winner, but you deserve a beer. So so I thought I thought that was fair. Whatever podcast app you're using, give us a nice subscription. If you can, leave us a nice review. Please take a second to do so. Thank you guys for hanging out with us each and every weekend. We love it. It's the nice way to close out our weekend before we go to work on Monday. We'll see you guys at the stretch. We'll see you guys next week. Take it easy, everyone.
Go Reds.